The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. To find out how to know God personally, go to knowgod.org, K-N-O-W, knowgod.org.
Hey, would you do me a favor? Share this message with someone who needs to hear it.
Coming up today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie offers some interesting insights on the last days. The future may be better than you even imagined.
Have you ever heard the expression, oh, it was just like heaven on earth? Maybe it was a beautiful sunset you saw in Hawaii. It was like heaven on earth. Well, one day it is going to be literally heaven on earth. Heaven and earth are going to merge together.
This is the day.
And we're glad you're joining us today here on A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie. And Pastor Greg will begin today's message in just a moment.
Our life is like a movie, and we're the star.
Evangelist Greg Laurie.
We have questions about this movie we're in. Is it a love story? Is this movie a tragedy? What is the meaning of my life?
An online event is coming that can change your life.
We can all use a rush of hope.
Step into a new
A Rush of Hope, the world's first online cinematic harvest crusade on your favorite social media platform Labor Day weekend, September 4th through September 7th. Invite a friend to tune in for a message of hope from evangelist Greg Laurie and exclusive performances by Jeremy Kemp, Mercy Me, and For King and Country. Rush of Hope, coming to a screen near you Labor Day weekend. Details at harvest.org. It's surprising to new Bible students that for 1,000 years, heaven will actually come down to earth. That portion of God's end times plan is called the millennium. It's a little mind-bending to think that heaven and earth can coalesce. But today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie helps us see the clear teaching of God's Word. It's part of a plan the Lord put in place at the very beginning. Pastor Greg continues his series, End Times, Living Like Jesus Will Return at Any Moment.
I have a message that's titled, There's a Better World Coming. This is a little series we're doing on the end times. And so let's talk about our future. So grab your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 21. And while you're turning there, I'd like you to pray with me, if you would, please. Let's pray. Father, You've told us in the book of Revelation that there is a special blessing promised to the person who reads, hears, and keeps the words of this book. Well, Lord, we want that blessing. And we ask you to bless our time as we read these words. Help us to hear these words. And most of all, help us to keep them. In Jesus' name we pray. Again, the title of the message, There's a Better World Coming. You know, it's always exciting to get a new version of something, isn't it? Like the new iPhone or the new Android phone. People will wait in lines. They have the latest edition. Or maybe it's something else that's new. It's your favorite TV show has a new season, or there's something new over on Netflix, or it's a new shirt or a new whatever it is. New things are cool. And how about a new car? There is nothing better than the new car smell. I have a friend who got a new car, and I was in it the other day, and it just had that luxurious new car smell. So I left a burrito in it just to kind of, you know, bring him back to reality again. He'll figure it out in about a month. No, seriously, but we like things new. In fact, advertisers have figured out that if they put the words new and improved on a product, that it will make you want to buy it. Now, the fact is, the only thing new and improved may be the packaging, but still we're attracted to the idea of newness. Well, guess what? God loves new things too. And in his case, it's not false advertising. He's telling us what our future is, and it's really going to be new and improved. Because yes, a better world is coming. let me pick up where I left off last time. We talked about the Antichrist. You remember who inaugurates the Great Tribulation period. We talked about the fact that COVID-19 is a stage setting, if you will, of the end time scenario known as the Great Tribulation period. The Bible says there'll be an increase of plagues. The Bible also tells us that the state will be under the control and rule of the Antichrist, and the world will have the final conflict there in the Battle of Armageddon. The Bible tells us in the last days there would be violence in our streets. Now, are we not seeing that right now in America? It's foreshadowing what is yet to come. It's going to get worse in the Great Tribulation period, but we have not started that period yet. That is inaugurated with the emergence of Antichrist. But the Bible does tell us in 2 Timothy, in the last days, perilous times would come. And that word perilous is an interesting word. It means difficult, and it is the same word that is used to describe demon-possessed men in Matthew 6 who were fierce, vicious, violent, or savage. So effectively, Scripture is saying in the last days there will be violent, savage times. Noah was effectively a last days believer. His last days were before the flood, before the judgment of God came. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be when the Son of Man returns. Well, looking back at the days of Noah, we read in Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 11, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become, and every inclination of the thought of the human heart was evil all the time, and the earth was filled with violence. And God warned the people of Noah's time to turn from their sin. And God is warning the people of our time as well that judgment is ultimately going to come, and the door of that ark shut, and one day the final chance will be given, and then judgment will come, and that is the second coming. So next event on the prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church. That comes from the root word harpazo, when Christ will catch up all true believers to heaven. The rapture is when he comes as a thief in the night. On the heels of the rapture, and really not until after the rapture, we have the emergence of the coming world leader known as Antichrist, the beast, the son of perdition, all titles for him in the Bible. And he comes off initially as a man of peace at the halfway point of the Great Tribulation period. After he has rebuilt the temple for the Jewish people, he commits what Christ calls the abomination of desolation. He effectively desecrates the temple, and the final part of the tribulation is when he imposes his mark on people, establishes martial law. No one can buy or sell without the mark of the beast, and everything culminates in the battles of Armageddon, and then Christ comes back and establishes the millennium. The millennium. It means 1,000. What is that going to be like? Well, let's talk about that. Number one, in the millennium, which is the 1,000-year reign of Christ, where Satan is chained up, we know this, there will be world peace. World peace. No more war, no more terrorism, no more nuclear weapons. Isaiah 2:4 of this time says, the Lord will settle international disputes. All the nations will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. All wars will stop and military training will come to an end. Won't that be awesome? We won't need the military any longer. Imagine that. Number two, in the millennium, the 1,000-year reign of Christ, there will be joy and happiness and no more disabilities. Am I speaking to someone right now who has a disability and you're wheelchair bound and maybe you're wheelchair free? Like my friend Catherine Wolf says, she had a severe stroke and found herself confined to a wheelchair. But she says, I don't like the phrase wheelchair bound because I've never been more free in my life spiritually. But whatever it is, if you have a disability, I'm sure you would love to not have it any longer. And in the millennium, when Christ rules, we know that those disabilities are gone. Isaiah 35:5 says, when he comes, he'll open the eyes of the blind, unstop the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will shout and sing. How glorious that day will be. Also in this millennial reign of Christ, people will live super long lives. Isaiah 65:20 says, no longer will babies die when they're only a few days old. No longer will adults die before they've lived a full life. No longer will people be considered old at 100. Yeah, I like the sound of that. I read about a woman whose name was Emma Marino. And at that moment, she was the longest living woman on earth. She made it to 117 years. So she credited her longevity to the following. Every day she ate 2 eggs, but not cooked eggs. She ate 2 raw eggs and also cookies. And she was quoted to say, well, I don't eat much because I don't have any teeth. Well, I guess that's her secret. But then there's another woman, only 116 years old, who credited her longevity to eating bacon daily. I like this girl. She had a steady diet of bacon, eggs, and grits for breakfast. There was a much younger man who made it to 110 years old, never sick a day in his life, and he said the key was garlic, honey, cinnamon, and olive oil. And his dad gave him a stern warning. As a young man, he said, never eat hot dogs, and he never did. But then I read about another dude that lived really a long life as well, and he said the secret to his longevity was hot dogs. Here's what I find interesting. Raw eggs, cookies, bacon, no tofu and no kale in any of these diets. So I'm coming up with a new diet that will help me live longer. Bacon, eggs, cheese. I don't know about raw eggs. I'll take them cooked. Cookies are good. Hot dogs for sure. But seriously though, the Lord will extend the human life.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment.
Whenever you send a letter, an email, or post a comment on social media, we read every word.
I am very blessed to have rediscovered Pastor Greg's teachings. I used to listen to him when I was a state trooper in South Carolina years ago. About 3 months ago, a local station picked up Harvest's messages, and I heard Pastor Greg speak for the first time in 20 years. I about lost my mind. I was so excited. For whatever reason, Pastor Greg has always been able to reach me, and I thank the Lord in heaven he has made it so again. Since then, I have found Harvest.org, become a Harvest partner, and have the app on my phone, so I never miss the daily devotionals or any of Pastor Greg's teachings. God is great, and once again, he has shown it to me. Thank you for your inspirational messages and reminding us that God has not abdicated his throne. He has always been there, is there now, and always will be there.
If your life has changed through Pastor Greg's teaching, would you let him know? Just drop him an email at greg@harvest.org. Again, that's greg@harvest.org.
Well, today, Pastor Greg is revealing several characteristics of the millennium, the thousand-year reign of Christ upon the earth. Let's continue.
Number 4, in the millennial reign of Christ, the animal kingdom will be subdued. This is good news to me because I'm an animal lover. I pretty much had every animal you can have. I've had many dogs. I've had all kinds of birds. I've had parakeets and finches and cockatiels and even parrots. And then I've gone through all the reptiles. I've had all kinds of snakes, large and small, and lizards and turtles and even some amphibians. And then I've had lots of tropical fish. And then I've had all kinds of little creatures like guinea pigs and hamsters and mice and rats. And I have to add that one of the best pets of all is a rat. They can be very nice. I don't mean the kind you find out on the streets, hopefully one you get from a pet shop that you can tame. I've had all of these little animals. I've never had a cat, by the way. I don't know that I ever will. But here's what the Bible says about the millennial reign of Christ. It says the wolf and the lamb will be together, and a little child will lead them. Isaiah 11:6-9, the wolf will romp with the lamb, the leopard will sleep with the kid, the calf and the lion will eat from the same trough, and a little child will tend them. How nice that would be. So your little kid says, hey, Mom, I'm going to go out and take the lion for a walk. I may even ride the lion. And Mom will say, okay, have a good time. No worries. This is the millennial reign of Christ. Also, there's going to be number 5, universal justice and righteousness when Christ is reigning. Psalm 72:2 says, God will judge his people in righteousness and the afflicted ones with justice. He'll defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. No more corrupt lawyers, corrupt judges, corrupt police officers. No more injustice, no more frivolous lawsuits, no more theft or looting or even spam calls. No spam calls in the millennial reign of Christ. No acts of racism of any kind. There'll be justice for everyone. Number 6, the curse that came upon the world because of sin will be lifted. We're told in Romans 8:19, all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Everything on earth has been subjected to the curse of God, but all creation anticipates the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. So people won't age, people won't have the effects of sickness in their life, and 7, holiness will prevail. Today, the opposite of holiness prevails. Evil is celebrated. Goodness is made fun of. But there's going to be holiness in these days. Isaiah 35:8 says, the main road going through the once deserted land will be a highway of holiness. And evil-hearted people will never travel on it. You know, I was in North Carolina not too long ago, and they have a highway there, a freeway called the Billy Graham Parkway. That's a cool thing to drive on a parkway dedicated to North Carolina's favorite son and the greatest evangelist, I think, in human history, Billy Graham. So this is even better than the Billy Graham Parkway. This is the highway of holiness. And at the end of the millennium, heaven and earth effectively become one. Let's look at another passage also in Revelation. Revelation 21. I'd like to read verses 1-6 with you. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle or the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be their God. Wow. Have you ever heard the expression, oh, it was just like heaven on earth? Maybe it was a beautiful sunset you saw in Hawaii. Maybe it was being out in nature in the forest somewhere, looking at the stars at night. Maybe it was the best restaurant you ever went to and you had the best meal you've ever eaten. And you said, oh, how can I describe it? It was like heaven on earth. Well, one day it is going to be literally heaven on earth. Heaven and earth are going to merge together. Sometimes people say, you know, as a Christian, I'll die and go to heaven and live there with Jesus forever. Well, that's actually not technically accurate. Yes, if you're a Christian, when you die, you will go to heaven, but you won't stay there forever because the scripture teaches that heaven is going to come down to earth one day. In fact, over in Ephesians 1:10, it says, God's plan is to bring all things in heaven and earth together under one head, even Christ. Jesus will make earth into heaven and heaven into earth. Even as that wall of separation that separated us from God called sin will be broken down, so also will that wall that divides heaven and earth be broken down. It's a new world that's coming. It's a better world that is coming, but it is not a sequel. It's a remake. Here's another detail given to us in the Bible. When God brings the new earth about, there'll be no more ocean. Surfers. What can I say? They're going, whoa, dude, I'm not stoked about that at all. actually, no, I don't know any surfer that talks that way, by the way. But when people do imitations of Californians, it's always like, whoa, dude, cowabunga, you know. Well, no one talks that way. But if it makes you happy, go ahead and mock us here in California. We can take it. But seriously, surfer dudes, there won't be any ocean. I know that's depressing, but if God takes something away, he'll only give you something more amazing in its place. And so just think about how great this is all going to be. Now, at this moment, 2/3 of the earth's surface is covered with water. The remaining 1/3 has large areas that are rendered worthless because of mountains and deserts. There's only a small portion of the earth's surface that is inhabitable. But when God establishes his kingdom, all of those barriers that separate us now will be gone. The barriers that separate nations will be gone. The barriers that separate areas where people live will be gone. There'll be no divisions at all. And I might add, there'll be no racial divisions either. When we get to heaven, the Bible tells us in Revelation 7, there's a great multitude which no man can number from every nation, from all the tribes and the languages standing before the throne, people clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. And so everyone's going to be there from every nation, from every race. This is going to be a glorious day.
Pastor Greg Laurie, with great encouragement about what's ahead for believers during the millennium. And there's more to come from this message here on A New Beginning. It's a study titled, There's a Better World Coming. And if you didn't hear every word of today's insight, you can catch up on what you missed online at harvest.org. Just look for the title, There's a Better World Coming. Or you can ask for a CD copy when you call us at 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. And then we want to recommend a brand new book about a real-life hero. The author is our friend John Irwin, and it's the story of how his grandfather was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor during World War II for his heroism when a live bomb began spewing toxic smoke and 2,000-degree phosphorus inside a B-29 superfortress off the coast of Japan.
The plane was in a dive. They were either going to crash into the ocean or the entire plane was going to erupt because the bomb would work its way down to the bomb bay. And instead of saving himself in a superhuman act of strength, he went for the bomb, clutching it like a football, and making his way to the front of the plane. With just seconds left, he threw it out the co-pilot's window, and smoke cleared the plane. And they pulled up at 300 feet, just seconds from disaster.
He didn't just save 12 people. He saved generations of people. Our family wouldn't be here today. Our grandchildren wouldn't be here today. You wouldn't be here today. And the same thing with the rest of the crew. We'll never forget that.
Well, John is with us today, and John, of course, is the director of many movies, including I Still Believe and I Can Only Imagine. And he's the author of this new book, Beyond Valor, about his grandfather's heroism. And in the book, John, you quote from a letter sent by General Lawrence Norstad, who was chief of staff of the 20th Air Force at the time this happened.
Yeah, he said on April 26th, just after the event happened, he wrote to my grandmother. He said, outstanding amongst all of the heroic acts achieved by members of the 20th Air Force in over a year's operation is the glorious self-sacrifice of your husband, Staff Sergeant Henry E. Irwin. He continued and said, his transcendent heroism moves me as a professional soldier to pay him tribute. His deed lifts him to a place with the bravest men in all history. Hmm. And as we consider the courage he displayed, we gain a new and humbling appreciation of the valor inherent in mankind. Hmm. And yet you would talk to him, and he would say, I'm not the hero. You know, the guys that didn't come, they all do. They all do. There's this humble, many can't bear the weight of the Medal of Honor because it really, you know, you are now a symbol of something and an icon of something. Yeah. And many found it difficult, but he walked humbly with it. And again, you know, worked for the VA hospital to help other veterans get their benefits, and you know, people loved him. And I just think that it was so interesting. Every recipient of the Medal of Honor I've ever talked to instantly says, "I'm not the hero, but I knew some." And it's the guys that didn't come back. It's the men and women that didn't return. And that's a very powerful statement.
Folks, if you want to read a powerful, inspiring story, a real page-turner, as they say, but not a fictional work, a true historical story, but told in a powerful way by expert storyteller John Irwin, then you want to order a copy of this brand-new book, Beyond Valor, that we will make available to you for your gift of any size to help us continue to bring the gospel to people and teach the word of God to people all around the world.
Yeah, that's right. We really have no other way to cover the costs of making these studies available other than the investments of listeners. So thanks so much for partnering with us. And in fact, if the Lord would lead you to invest on a regular basis, ask about becoming a Harvest Partner. And with your first gift as a Harvest Partner, we'll be glad to send you the new book, Beyond Valor. And we'll only be mentioning this a short time longer, so we hope you'll get in touch right away. Write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514, or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300, or go online to harvest.org.
Coming Labor Day weekend, a rush of hope for the first time, an online cinematic Harvest Crusade. It looks like a movie, it sounds like a concert, and it offers answers like a Harvest Crusade with Greg Laurie.
We're living in hopeless times. Don't you think people could use a rush of hope?
With exclusive performances by Mercy Me. What if I would want to tell you that the fight's already for king and country. A rush of hope with Greg Laurie.
I'm going to answer questions like, why am I here? What is the meaning of my life? And what happens after I die? Christ has the answer.
It's a rush of hope with Greg Laurie, an epic online event coming to a screen near you. Details at harvest.org.
So tell a friend, it's coming your way, Labor Day weekend. It's a rush of hope.
Well, next time, Pastor Greg brings us more insight on God's plan for the last days. He continues his message, There's a Better World Coming, next time on A New Beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.